ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel live here from Chicago with a live studio audience.
Woohoo!
Oh my goodness, that was exciting. Thank you, live studio audience, in person and on phone. It is great, great to be with you today, this Monday, a very, very special Monday, November 27th. Such exhilarating news. Still heart-wrenching from Israel, but exhilarating news. And we have to be so grateful for the incredible gifts of the Jewish people being returned to their families. I assume that people listening to this podcast are plugged in, that they're watching the videos. I have to admit that I have been glued to predominantly WhatsApp and a few of the channels that I get of people, of channels of communication, individual people and certain just sources from Israel that send out the information. It is absolutely riveting. We are at one of the most dramatic times in, I would say, modern Jewish history right now. And it doesn't seem to be getting dull anytime soon. So if you are not plugged in, this is definitely the time. There is a lot of inspiration to be had. And clearly, the title of Monday Motivation is Welcome Home. The incredible images, the return home, the videos of these young and old Jews returning to their families, families reunited. And yet, at the same time, obviously, many families yet not fully reunited. And as happy as we are on the one hand for these incredible scenes of families coming back together, that just means that we need to double down, pray harder, and do more mitzvahs, and to build merit that, God willing, the rest of the hostages will be released or captured or both, and that the evil that is in Gaza now, in Hamas, and those that support it, will be wiped out forever. Amen. Okay. I want to share with you two stories about these incredible reunifications. The first one is about a man named Yoni Asher. Yoni Asher, you might have seen, you look at him, he's definitely Svaradi, darker skin, jet black hair, and tall, good looking guy. And he spoke at the European Parliament, and he talked about the need of Israel to win this war, because so, however goes Israel, so goes the West, which is an important point. And at that point, he stood up at the end of his speech, and he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He covered his eyes in the middle of the European Parliament, so that all of the people in the EU could hear his rally call. That even though he was going to the European Parliament to do his best hishtadlut, his best effort, he did not believe in them to rescue his family. He believed only in God Almighty. And he was rewarded with the reunification of his wife, Doron, who's 34, and Raz, his elder daughter, 4, and Aviv, his younger daughter, 2, and the 4 of them. I mean, this is just, you got to see the video of this, and I don't know if it's translated into English, of them in the hospital room, and the mother there with the 2 girls, and oh my goodness, this is heartbreaking stuff. And the little girl, I believe, the older one, Raz, says, Ani chalamti shenechzarti labayit, shenechzarti labayita. She said, I dreamed that I had come home. And the father said, Achalom mitgashem, the dream, your dream came true. And right after the doctors check us, we're going to go home. And there's so many dolls. that and gifts that people have, menorot, I guess for Hanukkah, different lights, maybe menorot themselves, that people had bought for them. They can't wait. And this, it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. A Jewish family coming home, being reunited. What could be better? What could be more sweet? What could be more powerful? And we don't know causality. You know, if we were back in the times of the prophets, we'd be able to say, oh, this happened because of this. And we would know the real spiritual causality of what caused what. So I can't tell you that A caused B. But I have to tell you, I have to think that standing up in the European Parliament and telling all those hypocrites who talk about a moral world and have failed the moral test, the moral litmus test of our generation, and who have found a way to justify the worst crime we've seen since the Holocaust. And many of those European countries share the guilt by blaming Israel for what is happening. And he got up there in the middle of the European Parliament and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. All of you listen here. You blood-soaked European continent. How many Jews died, killed, tortured, murdered, raped, and pillaged on the blood-soaked soil of Europe, and you're gonna lecture to us about what morality is? And this Yoni Asher got up there in front of the parliament and said, be quiet, all of you. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I've done a lot of touring in Europe. Been to Poland many times. I've been to Spain. I've been to Portugal. I've been to Paris. I've been to Germany. I've been all over. There's not one inch of Europe that does not have Jewish blood screaming from the ground. And they lecture us. Shame on them. Shame on them. And so this Yoni Asher is a hero. And Hashem rewarded him with his amazing, amazing family being reunited. And now if you think that's a powerful story, hold on to your, whatever you're holding on to, fasten your seatbelts, because I you know, any moment, this is, tears are coming. Okay, are you ready for this story? Now the background of this story is as follows. The Jewish people in Israel, the Israelis, have been literally tearing themselves apart for many, many months since the Netanyahu government formed a very right-wing government, religious right-wing government, and they started judicial reform. We've talked about it a little bit before. The whole issue was totally overblown. It was used by the left and some former politicians who did not like Bibi, and they made this into a major issue, and they convinced half the country that basically this is the end of democracy as we know it. It basically was tinkering with the checks and balances of Israel, which does not have a constitution. If you ask any sane, reasonable person, it was totally overblown. But irrespective of that, it led to the greatest divide among Israelis in modern times. There's always been fighting, but this was a new level. You had people, the level of hatred, the level of disunity, the level of honestly of hatred of one to the other had not reached heights possibly since the times of the Second Temple, when the Jews were basically defeated by the Romans because of our, what the rabbis call sinat chinam, our baseless hatred. And so that's the background to what was going on before October 7th. Before that, this Simchat Torah, this holiday of the joy of the Torah, which, as we know, was the day of the deadly attack of Hamas. So, as we know, one of the kibbutzim that was most hard hit was Kibbutz Be'eri. And I have to tell you, I've done a lot of reading and of the news and different things. This is a story that I missed, totally missed it. And here's the story. There were, the specific story I missed, but in general, this I had heard, and this is very important to know, is that the army, for whatever reason, was caught off guard, which we know, and it took many hours to mobilize on a mass level to organize. And so what Israelis did, what our Jewish brothers and sisters did, is they just literally took their guns that they had and went to fight and went to defend. I just saw a whole story about a female tank division that like went around with their tank, and a different story of another tank division. They literally just took their tank and were driving on the freeways just to get down there, and were able to prevent a lot of damage and kill the terrorists. But this is one such story, but they didn't have a tank. It was Elchanan and Menachem Kalmanzan. I might be butchering the name. I read it in Hebrew, so I'm transliterating. But Elchanan and Menachem with their nephew Itiel. And what happened was they heard what was going on and they went to Kibbutz Be'eri. And the three of them, without having been called up in the army, without anyone asking them to do this, went in harm's way with their guns and they fought, being totally outnumbered, three people. No one called them. No one said, hey, Elchanan, Menachem, and Itiel, you know, it might be a really nice thing if you just go and, you know, put your life on the line. Their army officers didn't call them. The police didn't call them. Firemen didn't call them. They said, there are Jews in danger and we're going to go. We're going to go. And they did. And they fought the Hamas terrorists, the three of them on Kibbutz Be'eri, defending the Jews that were hiding there, who had not been burned, beheaded, shot, and all the other terrible things that had happened to them. And unfortunately, after many hours of battle, Elchanan, one of the brothers, was murdered by Hamas terrorists. But Menachem and Itiel kept strong. And this story now, this video clip that I saw, was of the hotel where the Be'eri residents, the survivors of the attack, are staying. And we have to know, there's a whole story here. I don't know if you're hearing this. There's hundreds of thousands of Israelis in the south and certain parts of the north that have evacuated their homes because of the threat of the war from the south and from the north. And so this Menachem and Itiel came to visit the hotel where the survivors of the Be'eri, Kibbutz Be'eri massacre were staying. And Menachem held the baby that was born by the woman whose house he had saved. He remembered, oh, I remember you were pregnant. And this woman gave the baby to Menachem's wife, and Menachem's wife handed it to Menachem, and he was holding this little baby that wasn't even born yet, was just born after the attack. And he literally physically saved this baby. And there were dozens and dozens of people there. And Menachem's mother, who literally just lost her son, Elchanan. And the visit was dramatic. It was special. And the kibbutznikim have to understand, almost all of the kibbutzim that were ravaged and savagely attacked were not religious kibbutzim. I'm not going into it. I'm not blaming. It's just factual for whatever it is. And so the people of the kibbutz at the end of this video got up and they said, there are no words what we can say to you to thank you for what you did to us and for us. No one called you. No one asked you to come put your lives on the line. And all we could say is thank you. And then the other person spoke at the end of this video clip that I saw. And he said, I want you to know. And he sort of spoke out the pink elephant in the room. He said, we come from two different worlds. We come from two different worldviews. Now, my insertion is they probably were protesting on opposite sides of the legal reform issue that was tearing the country apart. And he said, even though that we have two different worldviews, you showed to us in the most clear and unambiguous way that we are brothers, that we are family. Toda, toda, toda. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, folks, these are inspiring days. These are inspiring days of what it means to be Jewish. If we're the same people after October 7th, then we've missed something. We've missed something. Of course, life has to go back to normal to a certain degree. We have to move on in certain ways. We have to keep the rhythm of our lives, of course. But if we go back and are just the same people, then we've missed it. These Jews who are so different realize that they are brothers and they are sisters and they are family. What a model. No one asked for this to happen. If we could erase it, we would, but we can't. So the fact that it happened, we have to use it for what it is. And so therefore, if these Jews in Israel who are so different from one another can come together and realize that we are family, that we will give up our lives for each other, then how much more so us here in America, wherever we're listening, that we need to step up to be there for our fellow Jews. And thank God the response of our Jewish communities around the world has been unbelievable. I was just speaking to someone on Shabbos who told me that he's involved with certain nonprofit groups in New York. He said in synagogues by themselves are raising millions of dollars. In the certain areas in New York, you're talking about dozens of millions of dollars on a drop of a dime. Because we're brothers and because we're sisters. And the non-Jewish world is rearing its truthful head. Many articles coming out now about American Jews who themselves are waking up to a new day. Waking up that the assumptions about our life, about our security, about our just being, you know, Italian Americans, Chinese Americans, Irish Americans, Jewish Americans, we're just another minority. How the rug is being pulled out underneath that assumption. And so what do we do? How do we recalibrate? And so therefore, this is a time of ultimate opportunity. Because if we miss this one, folks, what will wake us up? And so for all of the people out there who are wondering what is going on and what should my reaction be, it should be to strengthen our connection to the Jewish people. It should be to strengthen our connection with the Almighty. It should be to overlook the differences. As we enter into a political season, for goodness sake, if you let the blue and the red of this ridiculous elections coming up in a year, whatever it's going to be for this whole year, and you start calling other Jews names or saying, I'm not going to go be with you because you vote for the wrong person, you've missed the entire point of this tragedy. Don't miss it. Our salvation as the Jewish people is not going to be coming from anyone in any White House. Kudos, by the way, honestly, to how President Biden has been dealing with this. As an aside, kudos. Standing strong and firm in Israel. May he continue to do so. But that is not where our salvation comes from. Our salvation comes from the Almighty. And the more that we are siblings, the more that Hashem looks down upon us as his children. Because if we aren't siblings and we aren't in it for each other, then how can the Almighty look down at us as children? And so, I want to wish everyone a week of inspiration, a week of reaching out, of becoming better Jews, of becoming more loving Jews to each other. And God willing, we will take this tragedy and turn it into the inspiration of becoming the best Jews that we can be. And welcome home to all of our fellow Jews who are back with their families. All right, we'll see you, God willing, next week, right back here for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.